Hello, welcome to the Transmedia Podcast. I'm Natalie Rios, and today we have with us Wojtek and Pavel, writers of the survival game This War of Mine, who will be discussing how they created this serious game about surviving at war. So welcome, Wojtek and Pavel. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, hello, thank you, and it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much. So to begin, could you please explain to our listeners what This War of Mine is and what does it consist of?
So basically, This War of Mine is a game about usual people in war, about civilians trapped in a war-torn city. And, well, it's, you know, like civilization is down, everything is down, and you need to survive. This game speaks about it, about the challenges, about the difficulties people face when they don't have means for life, and about the emotional toll people need to carry when they are surrounded by war. So it's a very heavy topic, I would say.
Yes, exactly. And it's focused on the civilians, which is really unique, I think. And where did this idea come from?
So the idea came directly from my older brother, Grzegorz, who's the CEO at our company.
Yes.
And he was reading articles about civilian life during Yugoslavian war. I think he was reading about Mostar at that time. And at one meeting, he brought this idea to make a survival game about civilians in war, about the emotional toll. And we were struck that this idea is perfect for a serious, mature game. And from there, everything started. And just let me now pass it to Wojtek, who was actually doing research on different conflicts.
Yeah, I was brought aboard the team at a very early stage.
Yeah.
When the game was still in a very, it was played in a small window and it was very basic. And from the start, it was obvious that this is something that we want to play, something that we want to experience. And we wanted to base everything that we put into the game on real accounts of persons who went through this hell on earth. And I did a lot of research. Of course, I wasn't the only one doing the research for the game, but I researched the history of various conflicts. Mm-hmm. Not only in 20th century and 21st century, but also the historical ones. And from there, we picked up a lot of ideas and actual scenes that are seen in the game.
That's incredible. And did you find any other projects that were approaching this kind of sensitive issues? Because I think that makes your serious game really interesting and unique, and so I mean it makes people to be touched. But I wonder if doing the research you found anything like it. I mean any other war games that were based, I mean that had the same approach as yours.
Well, I think there is no any similar project, but if you look at it as an anti-war manifest,
yeah,
there was a game called Spec Ops The Line. It was released in 2004 or five, I think. And in this one, you actually play a soldier, but without any major spoilers, at the end, you see what is the, the collateral damage
or
may cause. You can see that in the game, and as such, it becomes an anti-war manifest. It's a very good game, by the way.
Yeah, I think that's the key of your game, to actually make people sensitive about what civilians suffer during war, and that makes it really powerful. So, did you find it hard to design or to write the game that truly engaged the player, but that preserved the sense of realism and drama of war? Did you struggle with that, or was it? How was the process?
Well, you know, it's not exactly up to us, because the most of the writing done by Wojtek was biographies, stories, dialogues, and what you're talking about, it's more design. The mechanisms that are done to keep you engaged and make it a game and something that sticks to reality at the same time. So that is what the designers have done,
yeah,
is that they found compromises and simplifications that kept it a game. So, you know, something you can actually play and be engaged into and keep you maybe not entertained, but thrilled. Maybe that's a better word. And at the same time, being close to reality. And this is, for example, what Wojtek did, that he wrote lots of different biographies. And those biographies actually are somehow shaped by your deeds in the game. And this is where the design comes into, because it was mechanically designed and then filled with details, which was actually biographies and dialogues wrote by Wojtek.
So there is a rich background. Sorry.
You add something, Wojtek, right?
Yeah. I did a large part of writing for the game, but also there was another writer who contributed a lot, but he's not with the company at the moment. But you know, from the design point of view, we wanted to model the situations that people find themselves in, the armed when they are casualties of the armed conflict. And for example, the combat in war games is one of the most exciting parts of the game. And this War of Mine was criticized by some players and some journalists that the combat is awkward, that it's it's difficult, and it could be more streamlined and so on. But this is by design, because we do not control soldiers in this game. Those are civilians, and for them combat is something that they don't know from the everyday lives. So,
yeah.
So the game design reflects that reality that they don't know how to fight. There is only one character who is trained in combat, and he is actually quite effective in combat. But the other ones, for all the other ones, combat is something to be avoided, something that is very, very dangerous, as it is in reality.
Yeah, I think it's shifting the mind as well, because sometimes when you're a user and you play a game, it's mainly about combat and getting better at that, and this game is not about that. So I'm sorry, I interrupted, Pavel. What were you saying?
Yeah, but you were saying that war games are about combat, and I wanted to add something to that on a side note, that in games, you're usually a perfect soldier. You can shoot like thousands of bullets, and the enemies are, depending on the difficulty level, very skilled soldiers, and on a expert difficulty level, they perfectly shoot at you. While in reality, at least what I read somewhere, that for example during Second World War on Eastern Front, much of the shots in direct combat were actually shot in sky or something, because people didn't want to kill themselves. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Even on the Wehrmacht side, even on the German side, soldiers didn't want to kill other people, so they were shooting bullets just somewhere. Not all of them, of course, but quite big percent of them, even something close to 50, I think. Because, you know, they were forced to go to the army and then fight for some, for a reason they didn't necessarily be wanted to for. So even in reality, not all soldiers are perfect soldiers, and in games they are.
Yeah, that's really interesting, that point. Yeah, I mean, I think it's about making people feel close to the realism and to the to the real war and the real consequences. Can you tell us a bit about your experience then writing, because you say that you didn't work directly on the designing of the game, but how was the process with the team of writing these background stories and these characters and these all this depth of the characters, and then working with the game designers into incorporating that? I mean, can you explain us a bit of how the process was and how the collaboration was?
Well, after the basic game design was set up, the basic mechanics of the game, we started coming up with ideas for scenes that could be put into the game, and everybody contributed. There was no because we are still a not very big company, an indie company, and everyone is free to contribute ideas to the process. And when it turned out that we can't implement some scene because we lack mechanisms for that, for this, we in some cases implemented those mechanisms into the game. And all those scenes that people were coming up with were grounded in reality, in the written or recorded testimonials of people who lived in war zones. Then some of them were, most of them were written down in Polish, and then I either translated or they were written down just as bullet points, and then I translated them into writing into English, and sometimes fleshed them out so that they resemble something that people could actually say in such situation. And one of the most powerful moments in the game, one of the scenes that is most often written about, is the scene that happens when we visit a supermarket, and we can stumble upon a soldier who is assaulting a girl. Mm. He's leading her away at gunpoint, and we can intervene. This is a almost suicidal decision. Because at this point in the game we usually don't have any weapons. We can have a hatchet or a crowbar at best, and still the scene is designed so that we can save her just by creating a distraction. We don't have to be a hero who wins an unequal fight, because if we try to, our character will be most likely killed, as it would happen in reality. But even if we barge in, and we can run away, and we can survive because the soldier starts shooting and sometimes misses. He's not a perfect killing machine. This is a bit chaotic setting is also modeled to resemble the chaotic situations that happen in reality.
Yeah, it's a way of showing people also, almost impossible choices they have, but what's right, what's the way to react. I mean, it's about thinking that this is more real. It's not, oh, I'm going to be the hero, I'm going to save the person. It's just, okay, the consequences are that I can get killed, actually, or get someone killed. So,
the video games largely taught us that doing good deeds is rewarded, and this mm-hmm. is in reality, good deeds are sometimes rewarded, but as the famous saying says, they are most often punished, and we in this war of mine we can be rewarded for doing good, but we are not guaranteed the reward, and we can sometimes we get help from the neighbors, although we didn't do anything to help them, just because they feel that they can afford helping us. So there is no clear connection between our deeds, our morality, and the results. Where the clear connection exists between what we do, what our characters do, and what and their emotional state. Because if we do good, most everyone in our team will feel good for a while. But very often it's not enough.
Yeah, I think, did you find that challenging? Because in this game, reward is kind of a weird word. I mean, is there an actual reward in this game? You know, it's a difficult thing to say. Did you find it hard, or did you find it challenging to think, okay, the users are not going to respond possibly to this, you know, in a good way to this, because no matter what they choose or what they do, the consequences are devastating or are just too difficult. I mean, how do you balance that narrative and gaming, and was there any challenge in this complex game mechanics with the realism? Did you ever struggle with that?
It was made actually contrary to the standard game mechanism, where in game you play to win.
Yeah.
And like Wojtek said, in reality, good deeds don't necessarily get you reward. And we wanted to stay in the game as close as possible to reality. And it was a game design pillar to make a game, to make it an environment in which you are not prepared or otherwise you are not ready for what you should be programmed for.
Yeah.
Games during evolution of 30 years of development somehow programmed us that, like I said, there's a challenge that you overcome and there's a reward at the end, right? A goal by the rainbow. In this game, there's not. So when something happens that you were not programmed for, you are surprised. And then when you are surprised, you start to play more attentively. When you play more attentively, you pay more attention to details and you get more attached to the character. That is where the bond creates, for example, because this mechanism is a lot more complicated or sophisticated, I would say. But to make it as it is, we had to stay close to reality and make many mechanisms contrary to what they are in different games. So we broke the scheme, I would say.
That is great. That is amazing. Exactly. I think that's exactly what you did. But and were you ever concerned about the user's reaction to this? Because for what I understand, you were all in the same wavelength and you knew what you wanted to communicate and what you wanted to create, what emotions you wanted to create in the users or the players. But were you ever concerned that their reaction wasn't going to be a good one?
Responsible for the communication, and before we announced the game, we knew it was a very risky project because, you know, games are fun, entertaining, and you know they're supposed to make you laugh, and games actually depressing and can force you to think, and your thoughts at the end may be sad or even depressing. On the other hand, when we announced the game, the response was, I would say, fantastic. I mean, there was some backlash saying that the game should be funny and this one is not, because it's a depression simulator, but we got an amazing feedback from the gaming community. Like, we got a ton of emails from all around the world, from people sending war stories to us, war survivors contacting us, saying that somebody finally is doing it in a game, and all media all around the world wrote about the game, bringing us a lot of coverage because they thought the idea was very fresh. So we got a ton of support, and from that moment we knew we were doing it right.
That's incredible. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you made it work. Even though it was a risky thing, but I mean, I guess that it's about making people feel identified and relevant, and I think that's what you were able to achieve, actually. What would you say was the biggest challenge then? I mean, what types of challenges did you face designing and making the project? And if you can share that insight.
I wasn't directly involved in the design of it, but I know that a lot of work went into balancing the game. So that actually, when you start the game, you are thrown into the deep end without any help. You don't know what to do. Most players spend their first day on getting getting accustomed to the environment, and the first day is very important. And when you play for the fourth or fifth time, you spend the first day on frantically searching the shelter for everything that can be useful and constructing the first improvements, because the first day is crucial.
Yeah.
But so in a way, the game is designed to fail the player on the first playthrough. It's very unlikely that someone who goes into this War of Mine unprepared survives until the end of war. But of course, this is by design, because there is a lot of assumptions that people make about war games that we threw out the window. There is no tutorial. Weapons in the beginning of the game are not very important, because they are very hard to get. What is important is food, and later the wood to build improvements and to stay warm. And so the first playthrough serves to break down the players' learned behaviors. So the great challenge was to balance the game so that it is difficult. Teaches player to challenge the assumptions, but that is ultimately very playable, because quite soon after the game launched, we got people reporting that they managed to finish the game, to survive until the end of war with the whole team. The whole starting team and those who they picked up on the way, which is quite a feat, and that they got the best endings. And here we come to the challenge to the writing part of. We wanted to reflect the fates of the members of the team, the fates of the survivors. We wanted to reflect them in the form of a diary. They, of course, they write down what's happening and what they think about the situation. But they also reflect on their wartime memories. What brought them together into this shelter? It is they meet there by chance, but. What were they their wartime experiences?
Yeah.
And we wanted to reflect the level of trauma that the characters experienced during the game, during our playthrough, in the in what they write in the diary, but not just in the current part, but also in the memories. So we had to, I had, because I wrote that part, portray the same events from the life of our characters in different light. So I used one trick, because every one of those characters is an unreliable narrator, because they can remember remember everything, but choose to include not just the brighter or the darker parts of the memory, and they can look back on something that happened and see it in completely different light, depending on the trauma they went through. So, for example, one character lost his wife, and he remembers her differently, depending on the level of stress and level of trauma this character is experiencing. And the same goes for all the characters. They, at the end, we see their life stories, and they are different. Although everything checks out, all the major points are there, but they can sound completely differently depending on how we played the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's personal. Their personal experience. That's really interesting. And did you do any user testing before launching the project? And if so, did you test the seriousness and the crudeness, if we can say it that way, of the stories? And for example, this kind of diaries. I mean, did you make any adjustments because you thought, or the user feedback was that it was too crude, or it was too traumatic or dramatic? What was the experience with that?
You know, the writing itself didn't luckily require heavy rewriting. I mean, it was done in a way it was supposed to be.
But
we used a lot of external testers to see their reactions. And that was the work related to balancing. That was what Wojtek said, because sometimes people didn't react in a way we wanted. They were becoming too soldier-ish, or too little cooperating with one another within the group of civilians. So the balance, and thanks to a lot of testers working with us, the balance went into proper preparation of, you know, day one, day two, and everything that happens after. Like Wojtek said, that was the biggest challenge, and that was what we were hoping to get from the testers, to see their reactions, to see how they get into what they focus on. Do they focus on helping or fighting or killing or getting medication or food? We had to see what are their priorities to make the systems in which the priorities would be the ones we wanted, which would be food, medication, bandages, helping, cooperation, to get the human sides on the first plan, so to speak, not to push them in the background and pull the military side to the foreground. That would be incorrect way, and that happened actually at some point. People started to focus on weapons and fighting instead of behaving like civilians. So the entire work of balancing went into making the environment in which you as a player would behave like an actual civilian, like you would actually behave in a conflict, not like a, you know, super soldier.
Yeah. Well, that's so interesting. And I guess that in your game you are also teaching, because they, as you said before, you come as a user in the dark, in a way. You don't have the instructions of what you have to do, but it's also that the game is teaching you what you need to do to survive and what the priorities are. And so,
well, the fact that the users start in the dark is in part it reflects the fact that people who find themselves in such situation,
exactly,
in a war zone, are also completely unprepared. There are no publications seriously discussing such scenario. That, of course, there is a lot of prepper literature, but what people really have to prepare in case of armed conflict is quite different than what will happen after the zombie apocalypse or something like that. So what we wanted to do was to create an emotional bond between players who feel lost initially and the characters who are also lost in this new situation. And I think it worked.
Yeah, it's making the player be in the shoes of these people, the people that are at war, surviving. So,
initially, the game was intended to last a fixed amount of days, and it began with survive 30 days, and we dropped the idea because and now the game starts with a call to survive, because people in the war zone don't know when the war will end. They don't know how long they will have to survive.
Yeah, that's great. One question that I wanted to ask, why do you think games are a right format to approach a subject like this? I mean, we covered it a bit, but I mean, do you think games are to be seen in this way? We should be thinking about more possibilities of serious games to approach this kind of subject, sensitive issues.
Well, we're thinking about it even on a... I know it may sound funny, but it's true. Even on a philosophical level. And what I mean is that if you look at ancient theater, they were two major, say, divisions. Comedy and tragedy. Comedy was supposed to entertain you. Tragedy was supposed to make you through the experience until you feel catharsis. Mm-hmm. The cleansing, right?
Yeah,
and same thing happened to movies at some point. At the beginning, they were just simple fun, working as an entertainment tool. But sooner or later, the creators found methods to tell more serious stories and to tell you more mature stories, to experience something more, something deeper. And same thing happened to games. At the beginning, in late 70s or early 80s, they were just, you know, simple pixel art, pixelated shooters and fun like that. But during the evolution of games, creators found methods to make it more and more mature, and even the audience grew up. Like the average gamer is 40 now, probably. So we're talking about a mature guy or mature lady here, and you can create more. I don't know, emotions oriented or deeper stories for such an audience. And games can serve like the ancient theater served. They can give you comedy, funny stories, action stories, adrenaline pumped stories, competition stories, but they can tell you about tragedy, forgiveness, love, hate, compassion. Everything depends on the story. Games, as they are interactive tools, so they can suck you in the story and pretty much tell you about everything. So I'm not against war games as they are. I'm just against limiting games to you know, action stuff. So I believe games can get you through all kind of stories. They're perfect for it because they're interactive. So, love, hate, compassion, action, sports, entertainment, comedy. You can talk in games about everything. Plus, they are digital worlds. So you can create a story on the, you know, in a galaxy far, far away, and you can make it. That's something amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great thought to close the podcast, because it's about that. It's about the possibilities that you have with games, and now with serious games, that it allows you to sensitize people like your game, and also teach them something. So I think that's amazing. Well, Wojtek and Pavel, thank you so much for making the time to share these great insights and your experience with us. And this War of Mine is indeed an amazing serious game that makes you comprehend the struggles of survival. So I encourage our listeners to try it out if they haven't already. And now if you can share with us how people can find you or contact you online.
So yeah, please find us on Twitter. That would be Twitter-11bitstudios. On Facebook, we're 11bit studios as well, or This War of Mine, dedicated to the game. And most of everything, you'll find all the details at www.thiswaroofmine.com.
Great, I'll share it as well in the website. So thank you again, and see you soon. Speak soon. Bye.
Thank you.